So we're live. Songwriters Guild Live is the first one since my long vacation. I still have to find the buttons and stuff. I'm welcoming to the show Keegan McEnroe. Hi, Keegan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ro.
Let's start with a song.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
I was just debating that. Maybe I'll play a song of mine called Lay Down.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I've been to Austin, been to Vienna too. I've been this whole world over just searching around for you. Yeah, and I've been to Verona. I saw a statue or two. I didn't touch a breast. I gave my luck searching around for you. And I ain't looking for no Juliet, and I ain't no Romeo. And I don't write sonnets, and I don't wear no fancy clothes. When you see me, you'll know it, babe. I hope I know it too. I've been this whole world over just to lay down next to you. Yeah, and I've been to London. I took a train to Lyon. I see no streets of Rome, babe, searching around for you. And I rolled into Brussels. I played an old Dylan tune. I seen the streets of Torino, searching around for you. I ain't looking for no Juliet, and I ain't no Romeo. And I don't write sonnets, I don't wear no fancy clothes. When you see me, you'll know it, babe. I hope I know it too. I've been this whole world over just to lay down next to you. And I seen you walking down so many roads. Hurt me not to ever hold you close. And it ain't easy living this way when there's so many of you and just one of me. To Stockholm, I met a ringer for Nora Jones, but my feet just kept moving, babe. I guess it's for you I roam. And of course I've been to Fort Worth. I knew a nice girl or two, but she didn't slow me down. I keep on rambling around for you. I ain't looking for no Juliet, and I ain't no Romeo. And I don't write sonnets, and I don't wear no fancy clothes. When you see me, you'll know it, babe. I hope I know it too. I've been this whole world over just to lay down next to you. Been this whole world over just to lay down next to you.
Yeah, it's a great tune.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I started doing these music tours over in Europe in 2012, and that was one of the first songs I got from my travels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you wrote it while traveling.
I wrote parts of it. A lot of times how it works for me is a line will come to me, or a melody or something. I'll record it into my phone, or I'll write it down somewhere. And then sometimes I'll work on it on the road, and sometimes I wait till I get back and kind of decompress back home in Texas. And,
yeah.
This one was mostly written on the road.
Yeah. It's cool.
Thanks.
And, do you ride with other people as well, or?
I have. It's not something I've done a lot of, but I've done on occasion, and I've definitely gotten some nice songs out of the process. So probably something I should do more of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a radio host as well. I heard.
Yeah, that's right. I have a show called the Keegan McEnroe Radio Hour. And it's aired on a little FM station in Fort Worth. I build it. It's an hour long program, obviously. I build it from wherever in the world I am. I turn it in. They play it twice a week for 2 weeks, and then they play a new one. And then it goes online as a podcast, basically.
Yeah, it's about what I do.
Yeah, sounds very similar. Yeah?
And what kind of content are we talking about?
It's basically just travel and music, you know, people I meet. Also, I like to, if we were having a random conversation and you told me some hilarious phrase in Dutch, then I might, you know, like get out my phone and get that phrase into my phone, and maybe even a few others that you had, you know. So occasional like foreign language lessons and things like this. But also, you know, you meet so many people when you travel that play music and that make different kinds of art, or just interesting in other ways for things that they do. You know,
yeah.
I've talked to people in various different fields, but most often artists, because that's who I'm mostly hanging out with. So basically, it's interesting people I meet when I travel, most of the time being some sort of artist.
Yeah,
and then stories from the road of my own and. So it's kind of it's a bit of a free for all as far as content goes. There's no strict thing, but that's typically travel and music.
I can subscribe on podcast.
For sure.
I'll do that.
We'll do back and forth there.
That's
yeah.
a good one. Yeah.
We'll swap.
Okay. And, how do you record on the road for your show? Do you use your phone?
Most of the time, I have Ableton on my computer.
Oh yeah,
and then I have a Zoom. It's like I can't remember that exact name of it. It's like an X4 or something like that, but it has two inputs.
Right.
And it works as an interface with my computer.
Hmm.
Then I have a mic and a mic cable, and so I use that. However, oftentimes I will use my phone if I'm out and about, you know, for like quote unquote field recordings.
Yeah.
You know, or if you don't want to set up your whole computer and everything and you just want to talk to somebody for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The phone works fine, you know, then I just import that file and, you know, edit it down if I need to, bleep out anybody dropping the F-bomb, which isn't allowed on the American radio there, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
And then try to find fun sounds to cover that up. So it's
sounds like a lot of work also, huh?
It's a bit of work, to be honest. Yeah. Actually, one was due last night, and I still have I got to turn that in sometime today and find time to do it. It is a bit of work. It's also kind of fun, you know, in a way that you get to kind of share some of these really fascinating people that you meet on the road with others, and it kind of gives you a reason to get to know them better and to interview them and to, you know, get music from them and things like this. So, it's definitely, in some way, I guess it's worth it or I want to do it, but it is extra work for sure.
Hmm. Right, cool. You want to do another song?
Sure. I'm down to do another song. So that last song I did, like I said, it was called Lay Down, and it was on my album Uncouth Pilgrims. And I'd like to play a new song that I just wrote, this tour. This is called She's a Fighter, and it's not on any CD yet, but maybe the next one.
All right.
Get my hair out of the way of my guitar here. She walked into the room you thought
should meet her while up in Valhalla. They were placing their wages, and there was sweat from the heaven when she laid her hands on you. And things left unspoken that should have stayed left unsaid. She's a lover, but she ain't gonna love you. She's a healer, but she's not gonna heal you. She's a fighter, and she'll damn sure fight you and leave you aching for healing and love somewhere new. Sad men through the ages drinking straight from the bottle look on with a smile, understanding the danger, and are shaking their heads as she dances around you. They cry if they could, but their tears are long gone. She's a lover, but she ain't gonna love you. She's a healer, but she's not gonna heal you. She's a fighter, and she'll damn sure fight you and leave you aching for healing and love somewhere new. On an island up north where the sun begins rising, the moon makes her way down past that western horizon. And try as she may, that sun ain't gonna catch her, and at the end of all days, it'll still be the same. She's a lover, but she ain't gonna love you. She's a healer, but she's not gonna heal you. She's a fighter, she'll damn sure fight you and leave you aching for healing and love somewhere new. She's a lover, but she ain't gonna love you. She's a healer, but she's not gonna heal you. She's a fighter, and she'll damn sure fight you and leave you aching for healing and love somewhere new.
Yeah, great.
Thanks, man.
So, you're on tour a lot.
Yeah, I spend about half the year, one or two tours a year. But it works out about half the year in Europe, and okay. Then about half the year back in the States, mostly around Texas.
Yeah,
been doing that since 2012. But since 2003, I've been touring pretty steady around the States. 2006, started making a living full-time playing music. And since I've been doing the Europe tours in 2012, I've done less heavy touring in the States, but still tour around quite a bit.
What kind of places do you tour in the Netherlands or in Europe in general?
It depends, you know, everything from house concerts to big music festivals. I played a chocolate factory once in Chemnitz. It was more like a chocolate shop that was part of a factory. I played lots of record shops. I played in the streets, you know, several times busking. And then everything from cafes and bars and clubs and music venues and markets and festivals and blah, 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 you know. So kind of before I leave, I usually book myself up as much as I can. And typically have the big gigs around. I know I'm gonna be able to get around on it and then as I go and in between, if something comes up that's interesting somehow and it's on the way and it makes sense, then I'll play it as well. You know,
yeah.
The more days that I'm playing, that's the less amount of trouble I can get into and less amount of money I can spend typically. And so,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's good to stay busy if you can.
yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
So, you're in the middle of a tour now.
I'm at the back end.
The back end.
So I arrived to Amsterdam April 25th.
Yeah.
And then I made a big loop. So it's been 4.5 months. I made a big loop around Europe and then back in the Netherlands for the last 2 weeks. And this is actually, tonight begins, a 5-show run, through Monday. And then Tuesday I fly back to Texas.
Oh yeah.
So tonight and tomorrow night in Amsterdam, Saturday in Harlem, Sunday in Utrecht, and Monday in Meppel, and then Tuesday at Schiphol.
You mean skipped it to the airport. Yeah.
And back to Texas. So I got the next 5 days running and then back home, and that'll be the end of this 4.5 month tour.
Wow, that's great. And when you're home, you got your other stuff to do, or like
No, man. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get back. I got a few shows lined up, and I'd like to get in the studio. But most of the time, these last few years, you know, especially when I go home and it's, you know, Halloween's coming up, and then my birthday's in November. We got Thanksgiving in November, and then Christmas, and so there's a lot of family time this part of the year. And the fall in Texas has always been kind of my favorite time of the year there. And so I hang out a lot with my mom, my brother, my niece, my dog. Eat way too much Mexican food. know, Tex-Mex, and I'll play a bit to keep some money rolling in. But hopefully, when I get back, I'll be getting in the studio and getting a new album done. But we'll see if that happens or not.
Yeah, and the touring in the States, that's now mostly restricted to Texas, you're saying?
Most of the time, yeah. So I've gone off and done, you know, kind of a weekend in New York, or a weekend in Nashville, or a weekend here, down to you know, something like that. Was in Alaska a few years ago for a run, which was a lot of fun.
Do you find it harder to tour in the States than in Europe?
Well, yes and no. I mean, in a way, you know, the distances are much greater in between, and the public transportation options are fewer and typically more expensive. Yeah. So to do it like I'm doing this tour, I couldn't do it like I do this tour.
No, you know, there's just not the money.
Yeah. Well, and it's public transportation wise, it just doesn't make it feasible. You know, I mean, like, I do have a sort of a truck in the States, but it's not very fuel efficient, you know? So again, you'd be losing a lot of money. And the thing is, you know, I learned on that tour I did with my band in 2006, we went all the way up to the north of Seattle and back, made a big loop around and, went up the coast and then back down to the Midwest. And it was great fun. And for years we had people asking, oh, when's your band coming back to, you know, Seattle? And it was like, never. That almost killed everybody. You know, like the band couldn't afford it again. Everybody's girlfriends were pissed off at them. You know, like I had so much heat coming at me from all directions from that 5 weeks. It was like,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I kind of learned from that, you know, like it was a glorified vacation basically, and good for experience. But, you know, if you can't go back to a place from the grassroots perspective, there's not much point in going there to begin with. Because it's from the grassroots idea, you know, it's kind of like a garden. You plant a seed, you water it, you go back, you tend to it, and things like that. And if you can't get back there, then you've just kind of, maybe you had a great time, and, you know, and got some new fans or whatever. But if you're not able to go back there, then there's not a lot of, you're not going to be building anything, right?
Okay, that's a good, that's so an interesting
it's,
point.
So in the States, it's you know, like there's so many places I'd like to go to and kind of hit, but they're scattered. You know, it's like Seattle, New York, you know, Chicago, you know, it's kind of like one coast to the other is quite a long ways, or some of these places that. So, I mean, obviously, Europe's a lot further than Seattle or New York from Texas. But at the same time, once you get here, you can kind of get around pretty cheap. I mean, you can even find flights, you know, as you know, but it would shock a lot of Americans for like €12.
Right.
You know, €20 if you get it far enough in advance.
Yeah.
And when you're having to pay for your guitar to travel and you just buy a seat for it and you got a flight for you and your guitar for €24 from one end of Europe to the next, that's pretty hard to beat, you know. And then once you get there, buses and trains and blah, blah car and car rentals, whatever you have to do to get around. But it works out where, you know, transportation isn't that expensive and you're not going that far typically, you know.
Huh.
So in that way, Europe's quite nice. And the other thing is that it's not so common everywhere, but a lot of places in Europe are pretty good about hospitality, you know, giving you a place to stay and, you know, drinks and food. And unless you get to a certain place in the States, it's very hard to get taken care of in that way.
Yeah.
On smaller gigs, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that also can contribute to costs and things like that.
Hmm. You make it sound really, really nice to live in Europe.
It is really nice to live in Europe. If anybody here needs to be reminded of that fact, let me tell you, it's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah.
From the outside looking in, anyway.
Yeah. I come to think of it as well like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you want to do another song?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll play a song that was on my my last album. Last album is called A Good Old Fashioned Protest, and this song is called Big Old River, and it's probably the one that, in its own way, got the most attention from the last album. But anyway, this is kind of a song about some things that are going wrong, and obviously a long way to go to fix them, and so might as well start walking. This big old river got mud on the bottom, got mud on the bottom, get mud on your shoe. It's a big old river, we better get to walking. It's a big old river and a long way too. It's a big old river, it's a big old river and a long way too. There's smoke on the land and mirrors in the water. Smoke on the land and fire in the street. There's smoke from the hand of the uniformed magician. Turn his own crime to another man's pain. It's a big old river. It's a big old river and a long way too. And there's plenty of food. There's plenty of money, and there's plenty of hunger, and there's plenty of greed, and there's plenty of reasons they'll tell you that there isn't, and plenty who die with nothing to eat. Well, it's a big old river, it's a big old river and a long way too. And there's plenty for war, and plenty for killing, plenty for taking another man's life, and there's plenty of reasons he'll tell you that we got a while the prophets accounted far from the light. Yeah, it's a big old river, it's a big old river and a long way too. It's a big old river, it's a big old river and a long way too. Was a great big world, but now it's getting smaller. Was a great big world, but now we can see it's a great big world, and we got sisters and brothers loving every country and prayers for peace. It's a big old river, yeah, it's a big old river and a long way too. It's a big old river, got mud on the bottom, got mud on the bottom, get mud on your shoe. It's a big old river, so we better get to walking. It's a big old river and a long way too. It's a big old river, it's a big old river and a long way too. Well, it's a big old river, it's a big old river and a long way too.
Nice song.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So, I want to question you a little bit about songwriting.
Okay.
So, when you write a song, what is your starting process?
I find it's often very different. Normally on the road, as I kind of talked about earlier. You know, I'll get a phrase or a line or a melody. I'll record it in my phone, or I'll write it down. But I'm usually in motion so often that there's not a lot of time that I sit down and really work out a song. This tour has been quite different. I had a very inspirational experience. It wasn't a positive feeling experience, but I've got a lot of miles out of it songwriting wise since then.
Okay.
Back in June, and so I've written 4 songs from that experience since I've been on the road this time. They've just been falling out of me. So sometimes some sort of emotional trauma, heavier or not so heavy, can trigger like the well to open, and they just start falling out, which is happening this time. But if I'm working on an album, you know, sometimes I can turn it on, like I'm listening to the album or I'm listening to the songs from the album. I think, oh, you know, the album could really use a song like this, or whether it be thematically or musically or whatever, you know, to kind of make things move along or gel in some way, or kind of tie up a loose end. Oftentimes I can turn it on in that sort of scenario.
Right.
So sometimes I write to an idea. Oftentimes, probably most often though, a line comes to me or a melody, or I'm messing around on guitar and I figure out some little, oh, that's a cool movement or something. And then it starts to kind of form around that. But it's, yeah, it's often quite different. A few times I've woke up and I had something that was in my head when I was sleeping. I wake up, I write it down, you know, and so.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
When it can happen that way, you know, your dream does the work for you. That's pretty nice. Yeah. But that's kind of few and far between. Most of the time I have to put at least a little effort into it.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So, do you start with lyrics or with melody?
Again, it kind of depends, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times the melody and the lyrics come to me together, at least in a line or something like that, you know. Like I had this one line forever in my head that was like, I'm constantly slowly moving forward, one step at a time. And I finally sat down and wrote that song. But that was in my head as a melody and forever, you know, like a year or two before I finally was like, okay, you know. Like,
All right.
but sometimes, you know, something will come to you really strongly. And then you don't write it down and you don't do anything and then it goes away and you think, oh, what was that great melody I had, you know, and you can't recreate it. And I've had that happen a few times where it's very frustrating, you know, where I'll write the words down, but I won't write the melody down.
Yeah,
and then I'll lose the melody, you know. Yeah. So the phone has become very handy, both for radio interviewing and for songwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amongst other things, yeah.
That really, really helps. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. You want to do one final song?
Yeah, sure, man. Since I was kind of talking about this process, so this song I'll play for you is called Neon John, and it was the words to the beginning of the song came to me as I was walking around at the end of last summer's tour in the red light district of Amsterdam, and I was you know walking around doing some people watching, and had some of the lyrics to this start coming to me, and had a melody as well. Put it into my phone, and then my phone was destroyed.
Oh.
So I lost that melody, and I can't remember how it went for the life of me. And I know that the way I'm doing it now is quite different. But anyway, I like how it turned out. So this is a song called Neon John, and in American English, John is someone who pays for sex. So you're a John if you pay for sex. And so this song is called Neon John. Looking for love in all the wrong windows, his feet hit the brick with a click as the canal glows neon red. And as she opens the door, he says, what's the price, what's the price, what's the price for falling in love? And she laughs as she whispers, come in and see what 50 does. Neon John, Neon John, you're all alone. Neon John, oh, what pleasure you have known. Neon John, Neon John, will it fill the hole? Neon John, all the pleasure that you have known. Well, he's falling in love and her back's to the table. She called it a bed, but there's barely a pillow to lay her head. As she stares at the clock, he says, what's the cost, what's the cost, what's the cost of being in love? And she laughs as he gasps and she shows him the way back outside. Neon John, Neon John, you're all alone. Neon John, oh, what pleasure you have known.
Neon John. Neon John, will it fill the hole? Neon John, all the pleasure that you have known. Neon John, not looking for a fairy tale story. The same old happy ending, just a little too boring. And as he closes his eyes at night, he sees there's just something missing, John. What could it be? What could it be? He's back on the street, she's back in the window. She moved on, but he carries her with him. Night and day. And as he laughs to himself, he says, what's the point, what's the point, what's the point of falling in love? Neon John, Neon John, you're all alone. Neon John, oh, what pleasure you have known. Neon John, Neon John, will it fill the hole? Neon John, all the pleasure that you have known.
Great.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I kind of flubbed up a little bit of that first chorus. Somebody was walking in as I was playing. Yeah. I thought,
sorry about
that.
No,
that's okay.
It was my mistake. I switched off the light, so they thought that it was finished.
Okay.
And it wasn't finished at all.
Not quite done.
No. But I really like the way that you went into the threes.
Mm. Thanks, man.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a relatively new song, also not on an album, but okay, maybe the title track of one of the next albums.
So we're looking forward to your new music then.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to getting it out there.
And I'm wishing you a very good last stretch of the tour.
Thank you so much.
Tonight you're playing in Amsterdam, you're saying?
Yep, at the Lagunitas Tap Cabinet.
Sorry?
The Lagunitas Tap Cabinet. Tapa cabaneta? I don't know.
Oh, really?
It's
Lagunitas
is a beer, you know, the Lagunitas beer. I think Heineken bought, okay. I think it was originally in California, but oh. I guess they have like a beer, like a room or house or something. I don't know what you call it exactly, but a tap cabinet, I think
I
would be the
place.
Translation. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm playing there tonight. And I think it's been there for about a year maybe. So I think it's relatively new.
Hmm. It's in the center then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, sort of, yeah. Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Not like the Vortex of Insanity Center, but not on the outside.
No.
Yeah.
you mean not the red light district.
Right. Not in the red light district. And then tomorrow here, downstairs.
Pakhuis Zwijger, yeah.
That's right. And then the Wolfhound in Harlem.
Yeah, it's lots of artists are playing there that I've got on this show.
Yeah, and then the Mother's Finest Beer Festival in Utrecht on Sunday.
Okay.
And then in Meppel on Monday, and then
back home.
Back to Texas, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Yes, we're live. Well, I want to welcome Ben Walker to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of a cold, but otherwise I'm doing fine. And you're not having any. If you would have a cold, it wouldn't be very troublesome because you're an instrumentalist, as they say.
There is that. But it does make sort of meeting people difficult because you don't want to start sneezing over them.
No, that's true. That's true. So so we've got Ben Walker from. From the UK, and he's gonna sing folk. He's gonna not sing. He's gonna play instrumental folk songs.
No.
We're gonna question him about it later. But first, I want to hear a song and see what we've got.
Cool. Okay. This is a tune that I wrote. It's named after... So the guy that built this guitar is a guy called Roger in Penrith, which is a place near the Lake District, very north of England.
Okay.
And he has sort of... There's, he asked me to write a piece of music for an album he was putting together. And I wrote this tune and then kind of went, well, I'm going to keep it for myself because I needed music for my album. So I gave him something else. He's fine. He's happy. But this is a tune called Crossfell, which is named after a mountain near Penrith. And originally it was called Demon's Fell or Devil's Fell. And in 600 AD, St. Augustine went and blessed the mountain to try and get rid of the evil spirits that were making it wind and rain and inhospitable. And it became known as Crossfell. And it's still inhospitable and it's still wind and rain,
didn't really
so it
work.
Didn't work at all.
But, they just changed the name, yeah. Okay.
but yeah, so this is Crossfell.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you very much, man.
So, are you touring at the moment?
I am. Yeah. Ah. Yeah, I've got all sorts of dates, depending on when the podcast goes out and things like that.
That's true. But the people on Facebook are watching now.
Yeah.
So they For them, it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I am. Where am I going? I am going to Teatro Munganga.
Is that how Teatro Munganga.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's on Sunday evening.
Oh yeah, great.
Then I've also got lots of dates around Germany as well.
Oh yeah.
Which I have trouble keeping them in my head.
But then again, not a lot of people will be able to travel to Germany.
They will be able to find it down. No, exactly. So, but there's all sorts of places there.
But you are touring extensively now.
Yeah. Which is it's good fun.
Yeah,
it's good fun, and it's nice to sort of bring. I think there's certainly the rise of the singer songwriter means there's a lot of sort of singer songwriters out there, and I think actually if English isn't necessarily your first language, playing instrumental music is actually quite a nice sort of a different contrast.
For sure.
Especially with sort of smaller venues and sort of like intimate audiences and things like that.
And it also, it can entice them, you know, the fantasy of people in another way.
Yeah, it's more sort of...
It's visual,
it's,
maybe?
Yeah, it's kind of, it goes into your head, I suppose. It's a sort of,
yeah.
I realise as well I can't talk and tune at the same time.
So, what tuning did you use, and which one are you going to use now?
For all the guitar musos out there, CGC FCD.
CGC FCD.
Which is kind of weird. It's sort of there's a very famous C modal tuning, which is like CG CG CD.
Right.
But if you take the C, G, C, G and drop the G down to an F, you get the bottom four strings the same as dadgad interval-wise.
And you get a 7.
And you get another one on the top, which is really cool. It's like...
And which one are you using now?
Dadgad.
Oh, yeah.
It's a breath. You play.
Right, that sounds good.
it's there. It's there. Yeah.
What song you want to do?
There's an awful lot of things I could do. But let's try and do stuff that I've kind of been doing. So, it makes a difference if it's in tune.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, I'll do two things. The first one is a tune that I found whilst trawling the internet and Spotify and things like that. And it's actually written by... So in England, we have this sort of tradition of country dances. And little did I realise that actually... Because of the transfer of English culture to America, you get a lot of people in sort of New England and sort of around that area that are also interested in English country dances.
Okay.
So there's a whole scene over there where people are writing music and producing music in this sort of style. So this is two tunes, the first of which I kind of found through that, and the second one is another sort of English dancey tune that I wrote myself.
Can you maybe elaborate a little bit more about the English country dance, because I don't really know what it is?
Yeah, so basically in the sort of late 1600s, the English royal family was sort of French, we had a lot of French influence, so we kind of borrowed dances like the cotillon from France, which were danced in high society, and they were sort of balls and things like that.
Right.
And eventually the music that was done through that transferred its way across to England and became known as country dances.
Okay.
So they were danced in sort of high society type balls and places like that.
Oh. But they're called country dances.
But they're called country dances.
But they're not really by farmers. It's more from
this. So this is the weird thing. But then they kind of got written down in books that were then treated as folk tunes. So you get lots of these sort of these tunes that were originally sort of societal dances that were suddenly given to Morris dancers. You know, so with lots of the dancing around in the country fairs with the sticks, because they saw it as country dances and thought, okay, we'll do that. So it's kind of the societal shift has kind of happened. Yeah. But yeah, so this is the first one is a thing called Richard's Reminder, and the second one is called St. Mary's, which is a... Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I already got somebody saying, well, that dude can play.
It's not my wife, is it?
No.
Yeah. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, so, great. So you said you wanted to do two songs in a row?
No, that was it.
Those were two songs. Oh, dear.
They went by quickly.
So there was one song that was like a country dance.
There's one which is sort of a slow waltz.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing. And then there's the quicker one.
The quicker one was the one that you composed yourself.
Yeah.
Great.
Which is,
Yeah. I just read in your bio that you are, that you actually made all kinds of music. Also, yeah. You produce a lot of stuff.
Yeah, loads of bits and pieces.
So what you're doing now, this really very much English folk, I would say.
Yeah.
You can also do punk or anything.
I sort of...
it strikes me a bit.
It's that thing where you record people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you kind of, when someone comes in and says, hey, can we do this or can we try that? You kind of have to go, yeah, why not?
Right.
You know, so if someone says, right, I want to make a singer-songwriter tune, but with a drum machine and a keyboard and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah.
Then you kind of go, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
You know, so you kind
of... So you're a producer, basically.
Yeah. You sort of adapt to things and that kind of stuff. So it's good fun. But yeah, I enjoy listening to all sorts of music.
Okay.
And there's, just all sorts of shit.
No, there's no boundaries.
No.
How does that actually change your? Do you think that influences also the way you write your English folk originals?
I don't know. I mean, I find that you always kind of try. I mean, some of it is sort of from a classical background, so you kind of sit there going, okay, right, how can I, putting my musical theory hat on, what would I be doing here, or how can I take it from this sort of idea of a melody to something else that's a variation on it, and then how can I play it? And other times you kind of go, actually, you know what, we're just going to play as fast as we can, as loud as we can. So you sort of have to kind of go where the mood takes you. But,
so that you're now referring to your own songwriting?
I suppose.
Yeah. Because this could also apply to your producing, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is one of those things where sort of I think the role of a producer is never to put their own stamp on it.
Right.
You know, they're always there to, if someone comes along and says, I've spent ages making this song in my head, or just playing it, I want it to be the best it can possibly be.
Yeah.
You know, it's that whole thing of like, if you give your song to someone else and then they come back and they say, right, I've put drums and I've put all the bells and whistles and a brass band in the corner, and you kind of go, hang on, that's not what I... But the producer might be really happy with it, and you kind of like, how, you know, you have to always have to go with what the artist wants. So it's a very different sort of putting your artist hat on. You kind of go, actually, I want to make this the best as I can, or do things in different ways. So it's good fun. It keeps you on your toes.
And in your own music, do you also, when you produce it, do you also sort of put bells and whistles on, or do you keep English folk?
It's I always did a lot of stuff with like strings and things like that.
Oh yeah.
So for the album Echo, there's some of it is just instrumental guitar with a double bass. And then there's one track on there which starts with a sample of a folk singer from back in the 60s, and then has this like Moog synth bouncing around underneath it, and all sorts of other things with guitars and strings and all sorts of stuff going on. So it's a sort of an opportunity to go, right, what could I do with it?
Yeah.
What do I need? What does the song actually need? Or what does the piece of music actually need? So it's
great. You're referring to Echo, which is your basically that's your debut album, right?
It is.
And it came out...
Early July.
Oh, early July, yeah. So it's not too long ago.
No.
Yeah. So how's it going? What is reception?
It's been good. I mean, the critical reviews have been very positive. I think it's always difficult to judge. It's difficult to measure your record's performance based on things like Spotify streams and stuff like that, because there's so many people producing so much great music at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, especially when you're saying, right, here's some instrumental music and here's some music with guest singers and things like that in a folk genre.
Yeah, it's a niche market.
It's really niche. Yeah. So it's kind of, you're sort of lucky to get anything going with it, really. So it's good fun, though. It's good fun. And I think that's why touring and performing live is such an important part of it, because it's under these circumstances that people can kind of go, actually, you know what, I'm going to go along with that. It's you know, it doesn't have to be something that's been playlisted in. It's an experience, an account, and you know, people want to feel like they're sat on the edge of their seats,
yeah,
going, he's going to make a mistake. He's going to make a mistake. You know? you kind of want that sort of that level of thrill, I suppose.
Well, that's basically what that's the type of music that you're playing, and also the high technical skill that you have sort of brings out that feeling like, okay, is he going to make a mistake? It's like I know what you mean.
Which often yes, there's mistakes.
That's interesting. But so that's another type of performance, basically.
There was a good friend of mine when I sort of said about I was going to start doing some instrumental stuff live, and it's like, great, but really shred it, like properly,
right.
Sort of,
yeah.
all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, really go for it, because that's you know, you don't go to a Van Halen concert to watch him
just play E minor C.
You know, you don't want that. You really want eruption. You want eruption for like 45 minutes, kind of thing. You know, that's what you're after.
So that's also what you're going for when you're playing live.
No, sort of. I think it's more sort of there's a line between the, because you can't play quickly all the time.
No.
As a musician, it's boring, mm-hmm. and as an audience, it's really draining because you're sort of constantly going.
Yeah. I totally agree.
It's really, really draining. So I think there's a line between the technicality, but also how do you engage with the audience? Mm-hmm. You know, if you can tell them stories about how the tunes came about, why the tunes came about, and then take it from there, basically. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're trying to bring them in to relate something that musically has no words to a story that people can associate with it.
Yeah.
You know, so then when you go to a concert, it's like, oh, do the one about that thing.
And
that's the sort of plan.
Okay.
Which is cool.
Wow, great. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Wishing you a very good tour.
Thank you.
And, anytime you get back to Amsterdam, let me know.
We'll do.
Try to have you back on the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome.
An absolute pleasure.